A new movie deals with the kinds of drastic choices few people ever have to make. The Gray Zone tells the story of Jewish concentration camp prisoners who were compelled to help the Nazis in the gas chambers and crematoria at Birkenau. In return, they got better living conditions and a few more months of life. Iris Mann reports.
They were called Sonderkommandos, which translates as special units. Out of hundreds, only a few dozen were still alive by the time the camps were liberated at the end of the war. Dario Gabay was one of them.
We, the inmates, help the people to undress before the showers, remove the asphyxiated bodies from the gas chambers, and then burn them.
Gabay recalls that it hardly seemed a matter of choice. He was given a job and says he didn't know anything until the doors to the showers were closed and he heard the screams from inside.
So when you open up the doors, you see all these people that you saw before, 30 minutes alive, you see them dead with the children, black and blue from the gas. And at that time was a Polish guy that was there for a long time, and I asked him, "Where is God?" And he said, "God is when you strength is."
Whether strength lay more in doing the work and surviving, in refusing and being killed, or in committing suicide, as some did, is the question filmmaker Tim Blake Nelson asks in The Gray Zone. Nelson, the son and grandson of Holocaust refugees, was drawn to the dilemma of having two fundamental human impulses pitted against one another.
The one impulse is the individual's will to live and survive at any cost. The other impulse is the impulse as a social animal to work for the betterment of others, for the society at large, and not just for the self. Because the Nazis asked these men to abet slaughter. The reward was survival. This, to me, is an impossible choice, and it's an utterly basic choice.
Nelson doesn't judge these men in the film because he believes no one can say with certainty what he would do under those circumstances. The film does depict the men trying to recapture the humanity that has been stripped from them. In one scene, a young girl has miraculously survived the gas, and the Sonderkommandos argue over whether or not to save her.
The gas got to her. Why are you even considering?
We don't kill people.
We don't? We put them in the rooms, walk them in and strip them. Look them in the face and say it's safe. What the hell is that?
It's not.
It's not what?
It's not pulling the trigger.
It's locking them in. You leave the room. Bring them in and leave. Say it's safe. You'll see them when it's over. Who put her inside? Now you think she made it through? God knows how. You're going to be a hero?
Not a hero.
Not a hero, not a killer. What are you, Max? It's better we do it than them. I'll make it easy for you.
No!
Ultimately, the men stage an uprising. Harvey Keitel, who is one of the film's executive producers and who plays an SS guard, views the rebellion as an act of redemption.
If this Sonderkommando, this group of Jews, could rise up, find what was courageous in them, and give their deaths to the destruction of the Nazi SS war machine, then it gives us hope that other humans can do the same thing. This was a tale I had never encountered before relating to the Holocaust, and it made me look into these men so I could learn something about, cull something about this gruesome tale about my own humanity.
Keitel believes this film is about more than a brutal period from the past. He feels it raises questions that are crucial to him personally and to all of us.
We will all be challenged at some point, whether it's as a young man standing on a street corner in Brooklyn, or as a former Marine, and as a civilian who has been to places like Sarajevo, Mostar, Vukovar. We will be challenged to make what we choose of our lives, what to give our attention to.
Keitel says some people told him he had no right to make this movie, but former Sonderkommando Dario Gabay is glad the filmmakers did. He says it took him a long time to be able to talk about what he did to stay alive.
When I came back, I had, you know, for the first 10 years, I had nightmares and everything else, and I worked for a company for 35 years. Nobody knew that I was working in the Sonderkommando. I gave an interview to the LA Times, and they coming back a lot of emails. And there were two emails from two rabbis. And they will say that I shouldn't feel guilty for what I was doing, because the Jewish religion said, the Torah says that life is more important, you know. But always it comes back to you somehow. We were doing the work, but inside of us there is somebody else, you know. We didn't have any chance. We like to do good in this world. That's all I try to do.
The Gray Zone is based in part on the essay of the same name by Holocaust survivor Primo Levi. At the end of it, Levi points out that the extreme compromises made by the Sonderkommandos have their counterparts in the everyday compromises we all make. He writes, "We come to terms with power, forgetting that we are all in the ghetto, that the ghetto is walled in, that outside the ghetto reign the lords of death, and that close by the train is waiting." For NPR News, this is Iris Mann in Los Angeles.